Anyone who's ever had a young person in their life has probably worried at some point, or every day, that something awful could happen to them. That's what was on Tim Haywood's mind late at night when his youngest daughter went off to Western Washington University.
Does she have enough toothpaste? Does she have enough Brita filters? Because if one Brita filter expires, who knows what's going to happen?
There is a memory that Tim's revisiting more often these days. It's about a trauma, but it's actually helping to quiet the anxiety he has over his daughter. It's from back in 1982 when Tim was a young college freshman at the University of Washington.
The UW has a reputation of being quite a cold place, huge, massive, impersonal institution. You know, 300-person classes, massive campus. I hadn't really given much thought as to how impersonal the place could really be until I was assigned to a cluster in McMahon Hall. It's this massive concrete brutalist structure. It turned out I was assigned to a room with six swimmers and from the University of Washington swim team and Gary. We bonded immediately. I don't know if it was because of our mutual fandom of General Hospital back in the heyday of Luke and Laura. We had a standing appointment every day to watch it together. Or maybe it was because the swimmers were so big and strong that they would just pummel us whenever they felt like it. And after about a quarter there, things hadn't really thawed out too much at the UW. It's a tough nut to crack in terms of making friends. But I really didn't care at that point because Gary was a good friend. I'd made friends with some of the swimmers. We were hanging out. It was fun. During winter quarter, we decided to take a little ski trip. Took off the next morning. It was well below freezing, but it was beautiful, bright day. We could see the mountain range ahead of us, and we were just excited to ski. We got up to the pass, and it was snowing fairly substantially. There was a sign that said snow chains and traction tires required, so we pulled up, pulled off the road. You can really tell where the snow drifts ended and the road started. We got out of the car, started putting our chains on, and we looked out and we thought, you know, we're a little too close to the road. Let's get a little further off. So we drove up about 10 yards, pulled over again. And just as we pulled over, a truck pulled into where we had just been, a little maroon pickup. We start putting our chains on again. And up ahead, we hear this, hey, Gary. Well, it's Gary's aunt and uncle, coincidentally, up ahead of us. They're up there snowshoeing. So we're like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, enjoy your day. Went back to what we were doing. And at that point, things got weird. I looked up and there was a school bus skidding off the road directly towards us. As the man who had pulled up behind us into our old spot got out of his truck, the bus hit him immediately. He didn't even see it coming. I remember my hand resting on the grill of that bus. It was warm. And I remember looking up at the bus driver's eyes, and I've never seen anyone's face look like that before or since. It was just the worst look I've ever seen in anyone's face in my life. I mean, he had just run into somebody. At that point, it was a dream state. I just remember staring up at the bright blue morning sky, and it was strangely calm. Yet, I could hear screams everywhere. Because as it turned out, the school bus was filled with kids coming up to go skiing. And then another part of the screaming was from the fiance of the man who had just been hit by the bus and run over. All of a sudden, there's Gary's uncle leaning down over this man's body. And it was a body. He was obviously dead. But he was doing CPR on this man's face. And I remember thinking to myself, that's amazing. The state patrol came, secured the scene, interviewed us, did measurements. You know, as the day wore on and the sun came out, the snow melted to slush, and there was just a big bloody slush ring around our car and the victim, and it was awful. Finally, we got to leave, but we couldn't drive Gary's car. It had been totaled. This bus had completely smashed the back end of it. Fortunately, Gary's uncle and aunt were there to take us back to our dorm, and I remember going back in his car, looking up at Gary's uncle and thinking, "You're the bravest person I've ever seen in my life." He still had blood on his face. He had it all over his clothes. But there he is, just driving his car, driving us back. And then in the months that followed, I had such a gamut of emotions about the whole thing. Shouldn't that have been me who died? I mean, we were parked in that spot where the guy was, and we did move forward. I learned that this man who died had several children and a fiance, and I'm like, well, why was I chosen to live, or why was I able to live, and he wasn't? I talked to a lot of people about it. People reached out to me and at school in this big impersonal place that was the University of Washington. Turned out not to be so bad after all. Strangers came up. I don't know how they heard about it, but they'd come up and say, "Hey, I heard about your accident. That's terrible. Are you doing okay?" But the one person I didn't talk to about it was Gary. I guess we were just dudes who aren't used to expressing our emotions. I think it was just too raw to talk to Gary about it. And I'll always regret that because I moved out about, 3 weeks later and really never saw him again. If you would have said to me, "Tim, you're going to go to college, you're going to be there a couple months, and then you're going to see a horrific accident that almost kills you too, but you're going to be okay," I would have thought, "Really? Well, that's good," but I wouldn't have believed it. And that's why I know that my daughter's going to be okay too. As much as I worry that she's going to make shady friends. I worry that she'll be like snagged into some sort of evil satanic cult because she's lonely and having a hard time. I worry that she's gonna get disillusioned with school and not want to keep doing it, or I don't know. Just all these things just rush through your head, especially around 3 a.m. Our whole purpose as parents is to raise our kids to be able to live on their own without us. And even though, sure, yeah, I spoiled her a little bit. Okay, I spoiled her a lot. I think she's gonna be okay.